As George Floyd is buried today, we're reminded of another event that happened the same day he was killed. On Memorial Day, another black man named Christian Cooper asked a white woman named Amy Cooper, no relation, to leash her dog as required in New York Central Park. As he recorded on his cell phone, she said this.
Please, please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Amy Cooper was roundly vilified for threatening to use Chris Cooper's race against him. Then that moment was overtaken by a new video of George Floyd. But Jason Ward hasn't forgotten Chris Cooper. Like him, Jason is a black birder, host of the show Birds of North America.
When I was 14, I spotted a peregrine falcon eating a pigeon on my windowsill in the Bronx. I never looked back. I'm Jason Ward. This is Birds of North America.
Jason grew up in New York's South Bronx, actually lived in a homeless shelter with his family for a while. He's in Atlanta now. Jason, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk birds, but your thoughts when you saw that tape, as we all did, of Christian Cooper, who's a very prominent black birder in New York, and that interaction that he had with Amy Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, it was a scary video to watch. You know, knowing Christian personally, I know how strong and confident of a person he is. So simply hearing the trembling in his voice sheds a lot of light on how potentially dangerous that situation could have been. And he was obviously aware of that. You know, upon watching it, there's a lot of anxiety, you know, being, you know, built up, having somewhat of a similar kind of experience, being black and being in nature. It was just, it was kind of scary.
Talk more about that. You're kind of a rare sighting, you know, black birders are somewhat rare. I'm sure there is some fear or tension about what a black man walking around staring at things might be accused of.
You know what? Yes. In a nutshell, yes. It's very simple. It's always been a precarious situation to be black in America, period. Now, if you take that premise and you add on top of that, wandering around maybe suburban neighborhoods or being alone in the wilderness, that danger factor goes up. You know, I remember doing a point count for banding birds, and this mission required me to walk around neighborhoods looking for birds that had been previously banded on maybe power lines or on someone's roof. You know, so these are birds that had been previously banded in backyards, and now we're seeing how far they have strayed from their territory. So unfortunately, something that we love to do, something that we're so passionate about, is also something that is inherently dangerous for us.
And I'm wondering if there's even more of a sense of that in Central Park. There's this terrible legacy of false accusations of black men in Central Park, the Central Park Five, falsely accused of attacking a jogger. You know, President Trump perpetrated that terrible lie. They were all acquitted. You know, a black man in a bush waiting for just the right moment to spot that spotted whatever. It could be fraught.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. And we're aware of that. You know, I think that there's never a point in which we are unaware of our body language, because we have to be. It's about survival. Something as simple as me reaching into my backpack and pulling out my binoculars, I'm very conscious of how obvious I make that gesture. Or simply me walking around with a pair of binoculars. Are they obvious? Are they held away from my body? These are kinds of things that I pay attention to. And these are kinds of things that the vast majority of birders, it never crosses their mind. I live in Atlanta, so it's the Southeast. But, you know, it gets cold enough to the point where I would like to cover my face while I'm birding. But I have to be conscious of that. Once again, these are things that I should not have to do. But here in America, sometimes it is the difference between life or death.
We'll talk about how you came to this, despite that obstacle of perception. You grew up in a rough part of the South Bronx. You were in love with animals. And how did it get to birds?
You know what? It kind of came to birds really naturally. My first love was dinosaurs. I was about, you know, 65 million years too late. Couldn't really go outside and study them, or so I thought. That love initially for dinosaurs grew to anything else that crawled, flew, swam. It didn't really matter. I loved it. Birds, they're these cool animals that fly around, and flight, that's something that's freeing, not really restricted by any bounds. These are animals that can say, you know what, this is not really the best kind of situation from an environmental perspective. Let me fly, leave, and find some greener pastures. That ability was something that I wanted to be able to do as a kid growing up. So often, I couldn't do that, so I lived vicariously through them.
That image of a little kid in the South Bronx looking up and wishing that he could fly away or get away like the birds, It's really compelling.
Yeah. There's moments as birders where, you know, we're always looking for the next bird. But in actuality, we should also be appreciating the ones that we do see. That bird may have come here and arrived in your backyard and flown here from South America. Birds have seen so much in their short lifespans. There was that desire to be able to do exactly the same thing, for sure. And later on in life, I find out I wasn't 65 million years too late. Birds have been around for about 100 million years. Birds are dinosaurs. They are the only living dinosaurs to this day. And by that time, I was hooked. I was like, okay, these are my guys.
So then you become this birder. You have a mentor, J. Drew Lanham, another birder of color. You start this show. We're going to have episodes at herenow.org. But let's just listen to one, because what's so clear here and what we love is how much you love birds.
Every single year, winter rolls around and I see just hordes of yellow-rumped warblers. I think that, okay, I'm going to get tired of these guys. And when spring rolls around and then summer rolls around and they're long gone, I'm thinking to myself, hey, man, when are those yellow-rumps coming back? You kind of start missing them.
Jason, tell us, what are you looking at now? Mm.
So now it's the beginning of June, and spring migration has subsided, and we are currently in baby bird season. So for the next 4 weeks or so, no matter where you live in the country, you're going to start to see a lot of baby birds. Birds are nesting, and the chicks are ready to fledge, so they're hopping around on the ground. It's a very scary and unsure time. So a lot of the breeding species, you know, cardinals, robins, birds of prey, hawks, owls, the next generation, if you will, of birds are growing up right before us.
Mm. And what's been some of your most magnificent sightings, the thing where you're just, your heart stops?
You know, it never gets old. And I talked a little bit in the clip earlier about those warblers. Each and every single year, seeing those neotropical migrants, those birds that travel thousands of miles at nighttime while we're all sleeping and wind up in our neighborhoods for about 6 hours before continuing their journey, there's always that energy and excitement and also some level of just respect that they're allowing you, you know, to watch them for a couple of seconds. It never gets old. Seeing a warbler, whether it's a black-throated green or a cerulean warbler, it doesn't matter. Each and every year, it's just a treat to watch them spend a little bit of time during their journey with you.
In this moment that we are in time, tell a young black man or woman, given what they might have seen with Christian Cooper, why should a young black person take up birding?
Because we need you to. The future of conservation, the future of birding, the future of how well this planet is doing with climate change. The future will be at its best if we have voices coming from a lot of different backgrounds. So those young black birders out there, there are people who are desperate, who are just waiting to connect with you and help you figure out your pathway and what you love the most as you become, you know, bird nerds yourself. Or maybe it's a reptile lover, or maybe you love insects, or maybe you just love hiking. There are networks of people out there who are waiting to connect with you and help you out with that journey.
Jason Ward, host of Birds of North America. He also works with the Atlanta Audubon Society. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.